as we were singing that song about the blood speaks a better word. It casts down those lies. It destroys the lies. And over our nation, we want to declare the blood of Jesus, to speak that people can hear the better word. People are not hearing the better word that the blood speaks. And today we want to just prophesy, we want to pray that in the incredible grace of God, the Spirit of God will enable a nation to hear the better word that the blood of Christ speaks. The destiny that the blood of Christ speaks about. The hope that the blood of Jesus speaks about. The redempting power of the blood of Jesus. To see a nation set free from the blood of sin. From the lie of just abortion, the lie of so many things that have taken place in our nation. And we want to just spend a moment. So Father, this morning we want to come together as a family, and as we live in the reality of this incredible life-giving realm of yours. Because we are in your Son who is life. And we have begun to experience more and more the incredible life of the blood of Christ Jesus, what redemption is about, atonement is about. And we are experiencing the power of that word of the blood of Christ Jesus, the life in that word. It speaks that better word. And today, as we come for our standing in the gap of South Africa, where there's so much bloodshed, so much wars have taken place, so many murders, in all the different facets of it, innocent killing and just abortions and all that has taken place. And Lord, that blood of that speaks. But Jesus, your blood speaks a better word. And we come and we ask this morning, forgive us as a nation. Forgive us as we have spilt innocent blood. Forgive us for the voice of the blood that is crying out to you, as we see with Cain. Forgive us, Father, for what we have done as people of the nation in our generations have spilt much blood. Forgive us, Father, and today we stand just in your mercy. Throne of grace, to receive mercy at this time. And we ask, Lord Jesus, as we participate with you, and for us as you are teaching us the reality of being in you, and we want to stand here just to be able to release the power of your blood into the nation. We want to release this incredible blood of yours, the voice of your blood into the lives of the people of South Africa. We want to loose the power of your blood, Lord, to speak into the foundation of this nation, the origin of South Africa. We want to just let the power of your blood speak a better word so that this nation can come alive. This nation can come out of darkness. This nation can come out of the consequences of blood that has been spilt. Lord, we want to thank you for your sacrifice. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you, without sin, came and you became not a sinner, but you became sin. You took sin upon yourself so that you can condemn sin in man. And we wanted to say your blood speaks a voice that condemns the power of sin in mankind, the power of sin in a nation, the power of sin that has come through the generations, the power of sin. Your blood condemns that. And we want to thank you, Lord, for your life. And so we, South Africa, we can just speak over you and say, the blood of Jesus is more powerful. The blood of Jesus is pure, is holy. The blood of Jesus has paid the price. You are the inheritance of Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus has spoken. And so we speak over you, South Africa, and we say to the people, now become released from the lies. Become released from a false destiny. Become released from all that has taken you captive. And begin to speak, begin to live, begin to talk, begin to dream, begin to live in the reality of the blood of Christ that shapes our destiny. And this we thank you, Father, for what you have done for the people of South Africa. As we eat together, we celebrate together, Lord, we rejoice in you, Jesus, because of what you have done. We give you praise for that. Amen. Amen. On Friday morning, busy praying, and we're just seeking the heart of God. We're beginning to just to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to begin to know how to apply what he's been sharing with us over a period of time. And became very aware, and this morning and also when I woke up, became very aware of the body of Christ in our community, in our town, in our nation. At large, we're not very aware of the realm that we are actually living in, because we're still pretty ground bound. We still think, and our mind is still so worldly, and we're not really had the revelation of, wow, we have been raised with Christ. And I sense God this morning as well, because the blood of Christ speaks a better word, there's a reality of the Holy Spirit sort of like shaking and awakening and enabling the body of Christ to realize what it is to be in Christ Jesus and to step up into that, to understand we've been raised with him, we are seated with him, set our mind and our heart on things above. And so it's like a coming out of a slumber, coming out of a sleep, coming out of a dullness as children of God in the kingdom of God, not realizing that we're in the kingdom, not realizing who we are, and beginning to become focused, beginning to walk as the this incredible, mighty body of Christ Jesus here on earth. And this morning, as part of that, as we are applying the truth, we are learning how to live in the reality of the wisdom of God, of the knowledge and understanding that the Holy Spirit has been giving to us over a period of time. And so, to become very practical in this, I want us to look at a very familiar scripture in Philippians chapter 4. And all of us can quote this. And I think if you go to many, many houses, you will see this on the fridge. You will see this on some picture or poster or something over there. And it's that well-known portion where we read there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? What's the reason? Because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And then I rejoice greatly in the Lord again, and he continues in the beginning of Paul's letter as well in the Philippians. You will see there's a lot about him rejoicing. So what is the wisdom of God for us today? In this incredible truth that God is sharing with us here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I think we need again just to go back to a starting point that helps us to understand a little bit better. We had a look in John chapter 17 recently when Jesus is busy praying. And he's speaking to the Father, and he says that he has given us eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this eternal life is to know the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, to know that he is the only eternal true one. So it's a very important word, this eternal reality that you and I are living in. And it forms part of the foundation of this wisdom of God in rejoicing in the Lord. So we carry on, and he's praying, and he says he's revealed the Father to all that the Father had given to him. And then he continues, and he says in verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Very important. Rejoice in the Lord. And he carries on, and he says, now I've revealed you to them, Father, etc. I've given them this eternal life so that they may know you, the only true God, and also me, the Son of God. And I'm coming to you now, and I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I don't know what that full measure must look like, but that's pretty big. This full measure of Christ's joy within us. And then he carries on, and he says over here, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am not of this world. And so a few Sundays back, we spent a little bit of time to ask ourselves, are we in agreement with this truth that just as Christ is not of this world, we too are not of this world. See, am I in agreement with that truth? If I'm not, I'm going to battle to rejoice in the Lord always, because I'm going to be ground bound. And I'm going to be all the time worried, and that's going to influence me. So I need to learn how to enter into the reality of being in Christ Jesus. And that's part of the journey of the wisdom of God. And he carries on, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. So we know there that Satan hates the word of God, he's antichrist, and as we are learning to live in the reality of being in Christ Jesus, we know that the world's going to hate us because Satan controls the whole world. So the wisdom of God, the world will hate you for it, because it's life, and people will not like to hear and to live in the reality of the life that is in Christ Jesus. They are not, and he says over here, protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. It's fascinating that Jesus has to say this again and again in presence of his disciples. Father, they are not of this world. It's like, disciples, are you hearing what I'm speaking to my Father about? They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. All the time, he's bringing in the reality of who he is, and disciples, listen, just as I am, so are you. Very important. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then he carries on, and he says over here, sanctify them, set them apart by this incredible truth. Your word is truth. Holy Spirit's coming, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide them into all truth so that they can live a life that is not of this world. They can live this life that's in the reality of the kingdom, set apart, different, sanctified. Okay. And he says, are we in agreement with this? As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I set myself apart, that they too may be truly set apart. Incredible truth there. And so we spent a bit of time previously just asking ourselves, or we just to check the way we think, to examine the way we speak, examine the way we plan, to ask ourselves, are we planning our life that is revealing that we are living in another realm, we're living in the kingdom, or are we planning our lives so much so that it's just about this natural realm? This is fascinating because business, are we doing business that has an eternal consequence, or are we just doing business to make the natural reality, blah, blah, blah. 1947, the purpose of God for our community. Are we planning and doing what we're doing because it's going to make a nice place, or is it because it's dealing with eternity of a kingdom? We're not of this world. See, all the time, how do we think? Are we teaching at school? Is it just to teach for education? Or are we teaching in a way that life, the presence of God is in that room? And so we are becoming very aware because the wisdom of God, we might think it's spiritual, it has no impact, but this wisdom of God empowers us to become light and to become effective and to live in the reality of the kingdom and advancing the kingdom of God. So it's an important time for you and I as we're in this time of building. In John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes and speaks to Jesus and says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if they were not with him. And in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And then he carries on, you know, how can you be born a second time in his mother's womb, etc. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. And is emphasizing the word truth all the time. I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying this. It must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it was everyone born of the Spirit. And then he goes on and he says to Nicodemus, you are Israel's teacher, but you do not understand these things. Very important. Wise teacher, full of wisdom of the age, teaching, instructing, discipling many, many students and people. And he says, but you don't understand what I'm saying. Why? And he says, I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken you of the earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven, just as Moses lifted up. So we see here that Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, yeah, you've got worldly wisdom, but I'm speaking about things that I know and I've seen. I'm speaking about things because I've come from my Father. I'm speaking about this internal truths. I'm communicating. You want to understand, because the only way to understand what I'm saying is that you've got to be born by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's just foolishness. And this is one of the realities of what God wants to share, to understand the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. For us to hear, to understand, and to live in it, we have to be born of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's going to be foolish to us. And to be born by the Holy Spirit, to be born above, means that we have been fathered by God Himself. We have been fathered by Him. So it means that our Heavenly Father who has decided to put all his wisdom in his Son Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Spirit to take us and to reveal and to guide us into the truth found in Jesus, it's the way that our Father will father us in his wisdom. Okay, so let's go and have a look over here. Fascinating, when we got born again, we were baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. We were baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3, let me read that. There in verse 21. Now we'll come back to that one now. In Galatians chapter 3, I want to read it from a different translation, verse 26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. We are clothed with the life of Christ. We are covered and clothed with his life, in another translation. So now we're starting to get a bit of an introduction, because we want to speak about rejoicing in the Lord. And here we see something, and we get born again by the Holy Spirit. We see that we are now baptized into Christ Jesus. In other words, we have been clothed with the very life of Christ Jesus. That's fascinating. So let's start to think about it. Let's start to ponder about this. Let's start to get the understanding. Let's start to, what's the wisdom of this? Paul writes another portion in Colossians chapter 3. And he speaks about the reality of our life in chapter 3, verse 3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What does it mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? What does that mean? How do we live in that truth of rejoicing in the Lord? See, this is why I'm just giving you scriptures, so scriptures can share with us. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So yeah, again, we have this amazing truth here where we're seeing that get born again by the Holy Spirit. We are now baptized. We are taken into the reality of the life of Christ. Now this life of Christ, we have been clothed with his life. What does it mean? You see, I'm just asking all these questions because it's for us to begin to not just read. What does it mean to, we've been clothed with Christ? And then Paul writes in Romans 8, in Christ there's no more condemnation for those who believe. Are you starting to see something about rejoice in the Lord? Because in is not just rejoice about him. No. In means I'm rejoicing in the reality of being in him. That's our realm. Our spirit is in him. That's the realm of our rejoicing. That's the realm where we are participating. So it's not, we're not rejoicing about God. We're rejoicing because we are in the reality of his life. That's pretty different. So Paul writes and he says over there, rejoice in the Lord. In other words, let's be glad. Let's have this incredible joy. That's what Jesus prayed, Father, that my joy may be in them and be completed in them, the fullness of my joy. We get born again. So no longer am I in Adam, but now we have been taken. We are now in Christ. We are within Him. We are in His life. He has clothed us with His life. His righteousness now is our righteousness. We enter into, He is our life now. So I no longer live for myself. I no longer are this world. Now I'm in Christ Jesus. We are part of His body. Oh! I no longer live for myself. See, the life I now live, now the life of Christ living in me. Because we've been crucified with Him. And we want the wisdom of God. We've got to get to the place where we realize, but God, if I'm wanting to get your wisdom, I've got to start to renew my mind and realize, God, your wisdom is saying to me that now I've been taken out of the reality of being in the consequences, being in the sinful nature that came through Adam. Now I've been taken and I'm in you, Jesus. I'm in your life. You are my life. I'm in your righteousness. I have now become the righteousness of God because of you, Jesus. Can I rejoice in that? Oh, struggling with sin, battling with sin, battling with this, battling with that, battling with that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And all of a sudden now I've realized, whoa, I'm battling. But now, Lord Jesus, I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm in you. You are sinless one. Ha! You want a better way of healing and counseling and etc. Start to renew the wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. Now we start to rejoice in Him because, Jesus, you are my righteous one. You are the one. Your life is in me. In you, oh, the Father treats me the way He treats you. He loves me the way He loves you because my life is hidden. My life is hidden. My life is hidden in you. That's pretty awesome too. That's the foundation of rejoicing in the Lord. We face a problem, whatever it may be. And now we get caught up the emotions, etc., etc. The wisdom of God says, no, okay, that's a reality that you're experiencing now, but let me take you to a truth reality. Let me take you to another reality. My wisdom said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. My wisdom has said to you, in all kinds of situations, whatever it may be, present your requests to God. Come and bring them to me. From the foundation of being in Christ Jesus. From the foundation that you don't belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. From the foundation that I've been birthed by my Heavenly Father and He is my Father. From the foundation of being loved by my Father. From the foundation of having a destiny that my Father has, the blood of Christ has spoken and I've been redeemed. From a foundation of being in His very life. From the foundation of being in eternity. From the foundation of being in the everlasting one. From the foundation of being in the all-powerful one. From the foundation of being in the all-knowing one. Rejoice in Him! Whoa! How are we speaking? How are we thinking? Are we still ground bound? Then we've not yet come into agreement that we are in Him. And we are speaking from an unbelieving heart. We said, no, we're not in you, we're still in this world. So let me moan like the world, let me think like the world, let me complain like the world. anything that is not of faith is sin. Oh, the wisdom of God. I don't like the wisdom of God, we say. But He's helping us. He's helping us. He loves the people of this world. We are His body. We've been called, sent by Jesus into this world with a message and the ministry of reconciliation. We don't live for ourselves. We've been purchased with His blood. He is our life. We're in Him. So we live in the reality of His very life. Try this next time. Time of worship when we just sing. Sing from the place of, I'm in You, Lord. I'm in this realm of You. I'm in Your life. I'm in You. Sing from that place. And see the spirit realm open. The wisdom of God, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. And he says here, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've asked people this very question. Have you presented your prayers and requests? Yes. Have you got peace of God? No. Why not? And the only reason is because they don't understand the joy of being in the Lord. They're still presenting it from a world-based position. When we present our requests, we are in Him and we're coming to Him because we are in Him. We're face to face. The barrier is broken. There's no condemnation, and we come and we share. Oh, the peace of God that transcends from God. God's our hearts and minds. It's very, very real. Very, very real. It's not just a fridge magnet. The wisdom of God. So the wisdom of man says, go to the chemist and get some depression and stress tablets. The wisdom of God says, no. Come, guys. Let us become wise. Let us grow in wisdom. And this I have to work on a daily basis myself. This I've got to take every thought captive. And I've got to bring it in. I've got to renew it under the Lordship of Jesus. I've got to take His divine truth that I've been fathered by the Father of God, and I'm in His Son, and He is my life. My spirit lives in this realm all the time. And I need to renew my mind so that I can begin to, wow, grasp it, and to be able to experience how the peace of God guards my heart and mind. I've got to apply this all the time to learn the incredible reality of rejoicing in the Lord. Not sometimes, always. And I've got to keep on hearing the repeated phrase, and again I say to you, rejoice in the Lord always. And then I've got it on the stuck record that has to say it again and again and again and again. So I keep on being reminded of rejoicing in the Lord always. Because I have a habit of living ground bound. God, by His way, amazing way, is helping us all to live in who we really are in Christ Jesus. So I hope that when you read the Word of God over, say, tomorrow in your quiet times, I hope it's not just going to be this reading. I hope you're going to stop and you're going to ask yourself, God, what's Your wisdom here? What do you mean? What does this word mean? When you ask the Holy Spirit these things, the Holy Spirit will start to take you to many, many scriptures, and you will start to see, wow, that now makes sense. This is all coming together. He's giving us a deep insight to the mind of Christ so that we know how to now live. So what he shares with you and I on a daily basis, or however when he shares with you and I, as he shares, that's his wisdom. That's God's word for us, whatever that may be, to apply that, to live in that, to build our lives upon that rock of the wisdom God has given to you and I. So that's just what I've done over here. You just take, he says of you, rejoice in the Lord. What does the word rejoice? And you just ask yourself, in, what does that word in? What does the word Lord mean? The master, the rightful owner of all things. And I am in the master of all, the owner of all, who has all the rights of all things. And I've surrendered my life to him, so he has the ownership of my life. Oh, I can rejoice. The freedom in all of that. Big, 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 big freedom. See, you just take like that and you open up and the Spirit will just help you. Don't just read. Don't just read. Stop and ask the questions all the time. What does it mean? What does it mean? As we close over here. When he says, do not be anxious about anything. Lord, I'm not anxious today, but you're sharing with me something because maybe tomorrow I'm going to face a situation that I'm going to find anxiety rising up. And in your goodness, because you are the all-knowing God, you have now by your Spirit given me a truth to give me time to meditate, to give me time to get established in it. So when tomorrow comes, I'm on a rock. That storm is not going to take me out. The wisdom of God, the love of the Father. Don't just read and ignore. He's sharing because he's a wise God. He knows our tomorrows and he's sharing with you and I truths. And so he says over there, what does it mean? Let your gentleness be evident to all. I think many of us as children of God, our anxiety is evident to all. But not the peace of God that's guarding our hearts and our minds. Let it be evident to all. Lord, how do we make that? How does it become evident to all? Well, discover the realm and the truth of what it is to be in him, in Jesus, to be in his life, to know your spirit has been born by the Spirit of God, and now your spirit is in Christ Jesus, and your spirit is in this realm. Your spirit is in your body, so you can begin to experience the grace of God and protecting your mind and your heart, and you begin to experience the love of God flowing into your soul dimension, knowing the height and the depth and the width. There's so much truth that the Holy Spirit will start to share, and you say, wow, God, you're a wise God. Then we start to realize, but God, you are true when you say that all this wisdom of yours is found in Christ Jesus. And you start to realize that all of this is rooted in Christ Jesus. Last verse, I'll try anyway. I want to read it from the Good News Translation. Some of you may remember the Good News run. The 1970s, it was like the Bible for us young people. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1 and the Good News. Let us give thanks to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in our union with Christ, the NIV and the other translations, about being in Christ, here they use the word union. The word union comes from the Latin. It means one. Oneness. Okay? For in our union with Christ, he has blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Rejoice in the Lord. in our union, in our oneness with Christ Jesus, we have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before Him. Rejoice in the Lord. No condemnation. Rejoice in the Lord that in Christ He has made us holy. He has made us without fault that we can come before Him. There's a lot to rejoice about in Christ Jesus, eh? Because of His love, God has already decided that through Jesus, He would make us His children. This is why we get born again by the Holy Spirit, fathered by God. But He had already decided this. This was His pleasure and purpose. Let us praise God for His glorious grace, for the free gift He gave us in His dear Son. For by the blood of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God which He gave to us in such large measures. In all His wisdom and insight, God did what He had purposed. He made known to us the secret plan He had already decided to complete by means of Christ. This plan which God will complete when the time is right is to bring all creation together, everything in heaven and on earth, with Christ as the head. And then He says, all things are done according to God's plan and decision, and God chose us to be His own people in union with Christ, in Christ, because of His own purpose, based on what He had decided from the very beginning. Let us then praise God and His glory, and then carries on. But again, you just see this incredible truth of our Heavenly Father. Through His Son has brought us into His Son, into His family. And we can praise God for that. So the wisdom of God is for us, I think, today is to realize, God, I belong in this kingdom. You have fathered me. I'm in Your Son. I live in the reality of Him. He is my life. And therefore, Holy Spirit will share with us the way forwards. And it's that new way of thinking, that mindset, that we can rejoice in Him. The other day, facing a situation and a little bit of anxiety, and I'm thinking about this. And I said, okay, thank You for Your wisdom. And I just start to, just in the Spirit, live and stand and be in the reality of being in Him. And that's why if you're wanting to look at the attributes of God, you can start there and just begin, well, Lord Jesus, I'm in You. I'm in Your greatness. I live in Your greatness. You are so great. My little problem, what's that compared to who You are? What takes place? The peace of God begins to transcend. It's more powerful than the anxiety. The peace of God comes and guards your heart and mind. And you find you can be gentle. You can live out the effects of the peace of God. Practice it. Amen. Father, we want to come this morning and first of all thank You that You've given us Your Word. We want to thank You how Your Holy Spirit inspired these writers. We want to thank You for the men and women throughout the generations, right from Adam, right through to we see there, the end of time, there's still time to come. But we want to thank You, Father, for the way You've inspired, the way You led men and women to write Your Word so that today we can learn, today we can have a written Word to be able to read, to be able to experience how Your Spirit speaks to us, highlighting these truths. So we ask this morning, Father, that as we go into our tomorrows and even in our today, that we will become conscious of You highlighting Scripture to us. Let us become very sensitive, Father, to the scriptures that you are highlighting to us, because we know that's your wisdom for us to apply. And we want to stop there and we want to spend the time to get it. Father, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, he's given us your word and he's said to protect us from the evil one. And that is why we thank you that you have given us your word. And we want to thank you, Father, that as we live in this reality of your word, we've Christ prayed for our divine protection. So we thank you for that. So, and we thank you, Father, that in your amazing way you have set us apart, that as we live in this world as light, as we live as you, Jesus, you taught us as what salt is all about, what light is all about, we want to thank you. Father, as you spoke and through Moses, when Moses said there that law that you have given, the instructions that you have given to the Israelites, is full of wisdom. It's your wisdom, so that the nations can have a look and they can verbalize, they can declare, surely these people are a wise people. Their God is a wise God. And we ask, Father, for us as a body of Christ in this nation, that we will be people that will be known as men and women and children that have lived with you, that have been with you, that are wise people, that they can see that you are a wise God. And we thank you for this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you empower us. Thank you for that. Thank you as you remind us of the truth of being in Christ Jesus and the incredible, miraculous work that we don't. It's still a mystery how it all works. But we want to thank you that in the most amazing way, you came and you gave us birth. And we were fathered by God himself. We are his children. He is our responsibility. We are his responsibility. He cares. He teaches. He trains us. And he enables us to become mature believers in his family. So we thank you for this in and through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.